Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to talk about something a little bit different, the power of circle work. What does that really mean? Many times people will say, I go to bed at meditation. We all sit down in our own little space, and we take a trip, and I always say, when you go to the guided meditation, where are they taking you? They're guiding you to somewhere you want to go? Well, okay then. And then we look at yoga and we say, you know, we're doing things to be able to center ourselves in our body. Okay? But really, isn't the story that we're really talking about these days an evolution of the earth, the world, and spirituality? It's about how we all play a part in this bigger universe. We're really coming off of the concept of the I and the me, we're getting into the we and this all and this oneness. That's really where we're going. So really, how do we tend to bring up these concepts in our thoughts when they're kind of new to us? You think about circle work. We say, oh, is that a group of women? They sit around and it's kind of like, they just have a little conversation or whatever, and hey, they're good to go, and they have some wine, and then they're out the door. I think of circle work when I lived in Arizona. We up on the reservations, there was a lot of tribes, and they'd have a lot of circles with women, and they would do a lot of drumming and a lot of energy work. That's two different concepts. Circles, we think of circles all the time. When you go to rehab, everybody ends with a circle. You know, let's join our hands, say our prayer, and there we go. Or religious things, and we say everybody gets in a circle, and they're all saying the prayer together, and then pat on the back, and then they're on to the next thing. What is the circle all about? What is circle work? Is it sacred? Is it religious? Is it just meant to be attaboy kind of thing? What is it really all about? Well, my guest today is the expert in circle work, so we're going to get all kinds of concepts of what circle work is, isn't, and how we might be able to create a circle to be able to help move the earth and the world forward. Don't forget, it's the 80s, 90s, are all gone. It's no more about the eye. My guest today is Jolicha Bonheim, and her book is The Magic of Circle Work, the practice women around the world are using to heal and empower themselves. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jolicha. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Jeanette. So happy to be with you.
So don't you think that the circle has really kind of taken on an evolution, or maybe we're just waking up to use letters in a different sentence, right?
Yeah, you know, the circle has always been used as a tool for helping people realize their oneness. And I think that today that's our most urgent need. You know, when you look at what's happening in the world and all the fragmentation and the strife that's happening, we need to awaken to our oneness. And so I think it's no wonder that in these times we are remembering that tool, that sacred tool that we inherited from our ancestors, and that we really need to put to use again today.
Right, and I think the concept of fear is really coming up a lot. People are fearing that their identity is getting shattered, and it is, because that's part of the evolution. However, when that does happen, a lot of people get kind of angry, and they're kind of grasping at things like saying, this is mine, I have to fix it, oh, don't you offend me. And then the concept of a circle going together, they're like, oh no, that's going to ruffle my feathers. It's going to turn around and kind of shake me up, or there's parts of me that I don't really want to show yet. Don't you think sometimes when we think of a circle, we say it's really about being vulnerable, open, and being present, and sometimes people aren't there yet, right?
Yeah, you know, what you're referring to is what I call head thinking. And right. When our head is in charge, We have a hard time allowing ourselves to really feel connected to other people because this ego fear does rise up, that somehow my ego is going to be threatened. But in the circle, especially in the kind of circle work that I teach, it's all about coming into the heart. And the minute you come into your heart, there is this awareness of the soul's desire to feel connected. And so in the circle, even though people might come with some trepidation, what they actually experience is that far from their identity being destroyed, they are supported in stepping into their true self, and they are really being seen and supported with love. And so when that happens, those defenses fall away, and we're able to open to a sense of unity and connection without feeling that we are in some way in danger of dissolving or losing ourselves.
Right.
We do not lose ourselves. In a sense, we find our true selves in the circle.
Right, and it's really about losing your labeled eyes is what I always call it, you know, because
right.
every time, you know, sometimes you will talk with someone and you could sense that they're just kind of not connecting. They're just, a lot of this is just they're seeing things maybe from their past history, maybe from their wounded heart or self, or maybe just from their beliefs that they seem to have collected over the amounts of time. So they're really seeing life through labeled eyes. And I think sometimes when, just as you said, the circle is really about connecting to the heart or to the oneness. So really the labeled hearts is labeled eyes is really what you have to put on the side when you bring your person, you know. It's kind of like, let's leave that over there and see what comes up. But then that really does open up vulnerability, don't you think, for people?
Yeah, it is vulnerable. And I always say to the women who are in my circles that you are the courageous ones. You know, you are the ones that
right.
have the courage to open to this. Not everyone does. And this is especially true when I work, for example, in the Middle East, where my circles unite Jewish and Palestinian women. You know, they have to have that courage to really show up and open themselves and find out who is the other. And but when they do, it's so beautiful to watch because those enemy projections just fall by the wayside and they really fall in love with each other as women. So it's a beautiful thing to witness all those, you know, those labels and those categories just dropping and people just beginning to see each other for who they really are. And this incredible beauty emerging out of each woman because each woman really has her own unique beauty. And in the circle, it shows up.
When you talk about in your book, again, the book is The Magic of Circle Work, you talk about the seven pillars of circle work, and the first one is planetary consciousness. You know, and it was really interesting because sometimes people will say that they are there for whatever reason that they think they're there. However, if you look at it, many people on this earth right now are here to be clearing some collective consciousness. They're here to be doing some things or clearing some energy or holding space for patterns to dissipate or to build up. And there's different things that different people have in this world. And it's really about when we think we're coming together, it's really not about I want my home life just to be better. We're really wanting the world to be better, in essence, is what we're saying.
Mm.
Because if your home life is better, then when you go out, you can reflect that out in the world. So, you know, the idea that there's so many variants on who we are, how we're showing up right now in the world, and what's being really created and evolved, is just really so profound, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're so right. And it's true, a lot of times women initially come because they say, I want to improve my relationships or I want to have greater inner peace, and that's perfectly valid. But
right.
what happens in the process is they begin to connect with the part of themselves that really longs to contribute to the greater good in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today more and more women are realizing that they can't do that in isolation. You know, anything, any real change we want to have in the world, we need to join forces. And so we're looking for ways to do that that are different than the old, more patriarchal ways, the more hierarchical ways. And so as women come to the circle, they begin to awaken to this part of themselves that says, well, you know, I really have some unique gifts to give to the world, and I'm here to give them. I want to give them. And the circle supports them in doing that. So, you know, you have this process that happens in the circle, but then you have all the ripples that go out from the circle when the women go home. And their relationships change, their work life changes, the way they parent their children, it all ripples out from the circle.
You know, just as you were saying that, I had a vision of the circle, and in the middle was a vortex, but the vortex was like a spiral, so it was small on the floor, and it expanded out as it went up. And you think about it, you say that you're bringing this together, and we're bringing all of our energy together. And it truly does radiate out. And then each person takes a piece of this vortex and continues it out. So it really ends up being, it's not a downgrade of the energy. It's not a downgrade of the message. It's actually carrying the message forth in a context.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I like your spiral image because, you know, in circle work, we are very much working with sacred geometry. And one of the images that comes up very often is this image of our beautiful little planet Earth really encased with this circle of light. And each one of our circle gatherings is like this vortex point, and there are thousands of circles, especially women's circles, although not only women's circles. But clearly women are playing a very great role in creating this web of light that is encircling our planet at this time.
You know, people get so hung up on the male and the female thing, and I'm like, no, just get over it and just say the reason that we're speaking about women right now in this context, in this time and in this age, is because women already have the nurturing factor intact. So if they've already have the nurturing and nature intact, and they're able to be able to go with it much quicker, then it's able to compound much faster. If it's caretaking, it's not so much a nurturing. It's a little bit different, you know? So sometimes we say there's going to be a place where both will intertwine and spin together and mesh. However, sometimes to get it started, you know, you just need to be able to start with something, and you start with something that doesn't have so many crooks along the, you know, the chain. So why not start with women who are able? Many women have more time. Sometimes women have more comforting. Sometimes women have more compassion. They have more of the nurturing part. They have more of the encompassing energy. They want to include everyone. They, you know, so when you have such a collection already of the qualities that you can build upon, sometimes that just seems to be a little bit easier where the feminine is going right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, do we want to keep pushing against the resistance? Or do we like to just say, let's just get the good part going first?
Yes,
you know?
Yes. No, I totally agree. And it's interesting, when you look back at indigenous cultures, you'll see that they had three kinds of circles. They had separate circles for women, separate circles for men, and circles where they came together.
Right.
And so what they understood is that when you have a same-sex circle, regardless of whether it's just for women or just for men, the circle acts as an amplifier. So it amplifies the presence of the sacred feminine. And what I see is that a lot of women who come to my circles aren't really sure what the sacred feminine is, especially if they were brought up in a religious context where God was a he. And in the circle, although the circle is in no way religious, through this amplification of the feminine energy, women start to really get it. They say, oh, this is what it means to be a woman. And mm-hmm. I believe that the same thing happens in men's circles, that men find a new relationship to the real essence, the sacred essence of what is the masculine, what is the feminine. And it's something that you can't really capture in words because it's on the energetic level, but uh-huh. you can experience it. And this is something that regularly happens in my circles, that women just have a sense of, oh, now I get what it means to be a woman.
Right, and because the idea of being able to, sometimes when you have those separate circles, is you have some like qualities in there, but you don't have ones that are like kicking it out and they have to, quote, learn it, you know what I mean? So in other words, the flow of the energy is already encapsulated. It's just being able to join it together and blossom it forth instead of saying, we all need to learn it now. You know how when you go to kindergarten and everybody's like all over the place and you have chaos? But when you graduate high school and you go into a classroom, they're all sitting there because they know what they're there for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar, and the same thing is that, you know, bring like to be able to work together, to be able to bring it forth, and then that in turn will be able to issue in change and, you know, all together. And it's kind of interesting, you know, you also talk about the mandala on here in your book. And I had this vision. It was probably, I don't know, I guess I'm every night. I always get up and I write something on my phone. But one was after I think a lot of the suicides were going on social media. And I saw a man crossing his arms, head down, walking around in a circle on the sidewalk, okay? And I saw another man, head down, walking around the circle in another picture. And I said, what is the difference in the two? And the people would say, oh, I don't know. It was kind of like a confusing thing. But really what it came down to was the man in the left, they classified his mental illness because he was walking around in a circle on the sidewalk. And then when I tipped up the picture on the right-hand side, it was a man walking around in a mandala, and they said, oh, that person is meditating, so it was okay. So in other words, that conflict, you know, that conflict of perception about, you know, you really don't know, you really don't get, you know, and there's so much more. And it was such a, like, contrast of perception about how we come in, like I said before, about labeled eyes. And I think when you do circle work, a lot of this totally dissipates. And it really is totally almost irrelevant, these things that go on in the mind, these things that go on in the body, these things that go on in the world around us. We're just present and connecting with energy. That's the core concept,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I sometimes, you know, when I'm talking to people who have never experienced circle work and they're asking, what are you doing? And one of the ways I explain it is that we are co-creating a field of love. You know, because love is a concept everyone has experienced, everyone can relate to. So we're using the circle. As I said before, it's an energetic amplifier. So we are amplifying that presence of love. And that is what we are so hungry for. And, you know, we're living in a world that is very harsh and very addicted to violence. And as you mentioned before, to fear, there's a lot of fear. So the healing that comes out of just bathing in this field of love is extraordinary. And within every one of us is that knowledge of what we need for our own healing. So when you come into the circle and you have space to really connect inwardly with your own truth, that awareness, that knowledge of what I truly need in my life rises to the surface. And so I always say to women, okay, maybe you don't have time to come to my circle work training, which is a full week. Maybe you don't have time to come to a retreat, a four-day retreat. But everyone has time to sit down for 5 minutes, you know, in their life and really feel that, right now, I am in the sacred circle. And if you want, you can visualize some of the light beings or the guides that you work with around you, or even just some of the people who love you. And just feel yourself sitting there and saying, this is my time to really listen with tremendous love to my own heart and soul and see what do they have to say to me. And people usually find that, wow, my soul has been waiting to speak to me. You know,
all it
needs is that little bit of attention and encouragement, and it is right there, and we so, so need it.
And I think also, too, that people will say is that, you know, my soul, I'm waiting for it to speak to me, but it doesn't say anything. But then I think really the concept of being connected with just feeling something, you could feel tingly toes. You could feel like you need to cry. You could feel like you're warm all over. You could feel like you're flying in the sky. You could feel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the idea
is not always words.
Right. We get so hung up on the label of, you know, what am I supposed to feel? Tell me what you're supposed to feel. Do you know what I mean? That we get kind of messed up with it and it get kind of stuck. And also, too, you speak right in the beginning of your book about connection. And when we think about it, what is really connection? Connection is really people need perception to be. I mean, we don't exist in a vacuum because even a vacuum would have a reflection back. But it's really about being, people really want to say, you see me? Oh, that's cool. Do you know what I mean when you're walking down the street?
Mm-hmm.
Or even to the sidewalk. Oh, sidewalk, you feel me because I feel my foot on the sidewalk. Or, oh, sun, you feel me because I can feel you. You're warm. You know? And people forget these simple connections, and they're really looking for this profound, monumental thing, you know, that's going to have italicized, and they're going to, you know, trademark the logo. And it's like, it's just so simple. Can it be that simple? And the answer is yes, it can, right?
Absolutely. It is very simple when you are present, you know, to experience connection, obviously. You have to be present, and that links back to what I was saying before about shifting from the mind to the heart, because a lot of time we're so caught up in our thinking that we aren't really present, and so we aren't really able to connect. And so that moment of coming into the heart and silencing the mind, and that is when intimacy is possible. And, you know, it's unfortunate. 40% of people in modern-day America say that they feel lonely. And it's a huge, huge number. And many of the women I work with say, well, I have friends, I have family, but I'm yearning for a depth of intimacy and authenticity that I rarely find. And so in the circle, we've eliminated all the small talk. There is none of that. There is just this deep, deep listening, this deep support for speaking our truth. And so out of that come these relationships and connections that are right at the level of the soul. And they are so intimate and so authentic, which I think is also why a lot of the women that I have worked with just remain connected for life. You know, these connections, some of them have, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and the women that I've been working with remain connected their entire lives because of the authenticity.
You know, when I also think about it as if we're energetic beings, it's sort of like as we get older, you know, I do a lot of work with elders, and I think of it as their battery running low. And someone will come over and they'll talk and they'll say, oh, yeah, I feel a little better. And they really, truly bounce because they really are looking for that. They're looking for touch. I almost think of it as, you know, that ET thing with a little pointed finger and then you become energized.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that that's what a human is, because we really are energized by that which what we are connected with. And so much of this loneliness, my husband does sell life insurance. And I said, do you really understand what your job is? He says, yeah, my job is to visit with these people because I only see no one but a month, but just me. And I said, yeah. Your job is not selling life insurance. Your job is connecting with people once a month because they have no one else. Mm-hmm. And I think if we really recognize that, we would be out there doing a whole lot more of it, you know, because the concept of being able to touch someone unconditionally with no other reason just to do that. And I think if we look back on history, what came out in the before all of the people losing their homes and all that other stuff was the big bounce up of massage. Everybody wanted a massage. You got a massage at the grocery store. You got a massage at the dentist office. You got a, you know what I mean, massages mm-hmm. everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it was that people were longing so desperately for someone to just touch them unconditionally so that they could feel alive. And isn't that really what we're all talking about? I mean, in the circle work, you don't know. Sometimes you may or may not know the other person. You don't know what other energy or their story, because that's not what that's there for. You're really just connecting unconditionally and just saying, just touch me and let me know I'm okay. That's what I'm looking for, right?
Yeah, and I love that you're speaking about touch, because in circle work, a lot of the practices we do are very body-centered. So there is physical touch, and there is movement, and there is beautiful music, all these things that speak to our bodies. And people long for touch, and at the same time, there's a lot of fear of it. So in the circle, we create a structure that makes it very, very safe, so that people can allow themselves to be touched and they feel totally comfortable and safe doing it, which they might not in another environment. But that sense of safety and respect is just so strong in the circle. And, yeah, I remember this one woman. She's maybe one of the people your husband worked with. She said to us, you know, my husband died 15 years ago, and this is the first time I'm being touched since then.
Yes.
And that's really tragic. You know, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yes.
And that's why I feel so passionate about training other circle leaders, which is a lot of what I do these days. I train circle leaders from all around the world so that they can go back into their communities and they can create these safe, sacred spaces. And it can spread
in
that
way. And that's tough. And that's tough because who do you trust these days, you know? My daughter, she just moved into a brand new home. And within 2 weeks, her car in her garage was vandalized. You know, and they stole everything out of the inside of her car. And she had another instance, you know, where someone had come in and bothered them. And she said it was in the middle of the day. She said, I bought this house to feel safe, you know, at the end of a cul-de-sac, in the forest, in the woods. And it turned into the opposite. And we think so many people, I think sometimes when you have touch it, it really opens up that well inside that's been holding back, saying, I am not safe. And don't you dare let my walls down, because I need to be safe when I go back home. So I've heard a lot, too. You know, when people would come to me as clients and they would say, you know, I hear what you're saying and everything, but I need to keep my walls up, because if I go home, I know that I have to lock all my doors and everything because there's shootings around me all the time. But this is where I live. You don't understand. And I think sometimes when people begin to bring out prophecies and bring out this is the way of a great way to create work and do good in the world and all this other stuff, people say, you know what, I get it, I kind of got it, but you don't understand my situation. And that's really true. Many times people are not connected to how people might be feeling scared or separated or just on a survival level, don't you think?
Yes, but I would also say they all the more reason to create circles. You know, like I work with women from Afghanistan, or I go work with the women in the West Bank, in the Middle East. So these are people who are actually living in war zones. I mean, talk about not being objectively safe. And they so yearn for these circles because they're they do feel safe. Here is a place where they can let down their guard. And yes, they know that when they go home, they're going to be facing all kinds of dangers and obstacles. but they go home with a sense of having been healed, you know. So mm-hmm. I think that we need to be conscious enough to be able to say, right now I'm going to put on my armor because I need it, but mm-hmm. then for that not to be automatic. So we mm-hmm. all need some place where we can really take off the armor and we can be human beings. We all need
right.
that.
You also speak in your book about the heaven and earth axis, you know. I think a lot of times when we connect and we believe that there's so much more in the world around us, and really when you do a circle, you're really taking that heaven and earth axis, you're really amplifying it, and then you're letting it radiate out and sharing it with others. And you're not really always out there proclaiming, you know, hey, as an activist, although some people are, you might just be radiating it out, or you might just be present in, you just don't stir up the chaos everywhere else you go, you know. You're kind of being able to be a calming force in some of the areas where, as you just said, you know, things may be a little bit shaky, right?
Right. And as you said, it's not about words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when a woman has connected to herself and she is anchored in her own authentic truth, then wherever she goes, she will radiate peace. She will radiate
right.
love. And a lot of times words are not at all necessary. But people, whether they know it or not, they experience that. And the women that I've worked with for a long time, they say, you know, wherever I go, I take the circle with me.
Right,
and when
right.
you think of what a circle signifies, a circle is whole, it's balanced, it's centered, it's sacred. So really our goal in this practice is not just to gather in circles, but it's to become embodiments of the circle so that wherever we go, we bring that sense of wholeness and balance with us, and people pick it up.
And also, too, in your book, you talk about healing the mother wounds. You know, there's such a connotation, again, with the word mother, you know. You know, the mother you bring in, the mother is supposed to nurture, the mother is supposed to care, and all this other stuff. But really, sometimes there's a difference between a mother and a mother and mothering. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes when you have these circles, a lot of the old wounds that a lot of people have been carrying around for eons tend to be able to come to the surface.
Yeah.
You know, you see that, you know, even if it's been a long time ago, or it could be very recent, it could be grief and loss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes all you have to do is just start a circle, and within 5 seconds, not even, maybe 2 seconds, you get somebody who's just like, just totally cracked open with the wall that they've been holding onto for so long, don't you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's part of the beauty of the circle, is because a lot of people don't really have other places where they can go with these wounds and with this grief. And so it's so precious to have a place where you can put it out, and not only put it out, but you know that whatever you have experienced, there is certainly some other woman in the circle who has experienced something similar. So you
right.
begin to understand that what might seem like a very personal wound, it could be, for example, the healing from sexual abuse or having a bad relationship to your mother. These are actually collective wounds, and we can heal them together. And I feel that, you know, for so many women, they come to the circle and they say, well, you know, I don't really trust women because I've had bad experiences of, you know, women being rivals
right.
or jealousy and so on. And so for them to experience what true sisterhood and true support feels like is
mm-hmm.
absolutely a life changer. It's beautiful. And I think that this is the way that women are supposed to relate. You know, by nature,
mm-hmm.
we are here to support each other. We're not here as rivals and competitors. But we have to experience that before we can know that it's real and that it's an option for us too.
And when you talk about circle work, do you create some circles that are like the tribes or like the Indians, or some that are like religious, or some that are
no.
mental health? I think those are all different ones. Right. So what we're saying is that this is a different, this is a difference in those had, I don't know what you want, I don't want to use the wrong word, but I almost like they have their own agenda. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they are what I call, they're what I call tribal circles, which is a beautiful thing. But as you said before, we're into creating planetary circles. So in our circles, people come together who have all kinds of different religious beliefs or political beliefs or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. So we're all coming together in the circle, and it's very important that it not be religious, because the minute, not that there's anything wrong with religion, but the minute you make a circle religious, you're excluding all the people who don't share your religious beliefs.
Right.
So in our circles, there's space for everyone. You know, we're not telling you what to believe. As long as there is respect and a willingness to open your heart to other people, that is all that it takes.
Jalaja, can you share the process of a, I walk into a room and there's going to be circle work. Can you just highlight a few concepts of what the circle work might look like?
Yes. Usually we're gathering in very beautiful spaces. It's not essential. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but I try to create beauty because I think that beauty really speaks to our soul and helps us feel loved. So you would be coming into a beautiful space, and then there is a there are definite practices to circle work and structures that ensure that every woman has a voice. And whereas in daily life, sometimes we have to fight to make ourselves heard or to get attention, in the circle, we are passing a talking object and only the woman who holds it speaks and nobody interrupts her. So there is a quality of deep, deep listening. And then the first thing I usually do is some form of practice that helps women shake that busyness and frantic energy of our daily life and really come into their bodies, their breath. There might be music. There might be a practice involving touch. So within just a few minutes, that whole energy field in the circle becomes very open-hearted and peaceful. So from that place, then, the work that we do is very sacred, very safe, and it's also unpredictable because there isn't a set structure. You know, as a circle leader, we're always listening to the soul of the circle, you might say. What does the circle need in this moment? What is coming up in our collective field? And so that when I train women, I'm always working with them to help them not just come into a circle with a plan or an agenda, this is what we're going to do today, but really learn to listen to what does this circle need so that the leader is really acting in service of the circle.
Right, because it's so different when you go to a circle and it's almost like, well, what are we going to talk about tonight? And then people decide if they feel that they need it or not, whether or not they're going to go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like, are you willing to be present to see what comes up? Or are you only going to go to see that which serves you or what you think you need, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, really, you're coming. I mean, I always feel that when I go to the circle, it is like someone might go to a church or a synagogue or a mosque. I am going to sacred space. And so it is an encounter with spirit. And obviously, spirit is always the unknown. So you need to be willing to open yourself up to whatever comes up. You might have certain expectations, but something completely different might happen.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being able to be okay with that. And also, too, I'm sure in your circle work, is that people don't get left hanging out to dry. I don't know about you, but I've gone to some things, and you come away feeling like rawer than you ever were. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's no closure. There's no. I call it like the heart of the end of the sentence. You know, there's truly none of that. You're kind of sent out with, you know, a concept or a sense or a feeling that. Not a good one. Don't you think you see that sometimes?
And I think in general, a lot of people think, oh, the circle, it's such a simple thing. We're just going to come together and sit in a circle. And I always see the circle as like a power tool. You know, if you have a power tool, you need to learn to use it well and skillfully.
Right.
Because I hear many stories like that of circles that really didn't achieve what a circle can achieve and is supposed to achieve. That takes some skill. And unfortunately, in our world, there are not a lot of places where people can learn those skills. My vision is that someday every community will have wonderful circles and there will be many places for people to learn these skills. But right now there are not yet.
Yeah. And, you know, to be able to, we don't want to turn around and say, I will fix it for you. I will solutionize your issue, whatever you're dishing out or exposing. It's really about you learning the tools for yourself so you can go forward with it. You know, so many times people say, well, you know, I have this acquaintance, and no matter what I say, it seems sometimes it comes up for him. And I'll say a comment or something, and he'll say, what does it do for you? That's always the standard answer. What does it do for you? And I'm going, what? And I kind of don't resonate with that because I don't understand that things are supposed to, quote, do something for you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when I'm eating spinach, what does it do for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm laying down and resting and meditating, what does it do for you, you know? I mean, that kind of idea. So I think when you think about circle work, it's not at all about what it does for you. It's about connecting who you are in the place in the world, right?
Yeah, you might say it's not about what it does for your ego, but it's more about what does it do for my soul? What does it do for my heart? What does it do for my sense of living a meaningful, significant life? You know, which is because we live in such an individualistic culture, that me, me, me attitude. But that really ignores that every human being does have that deeper dimension, that spiritual dimension, that longs for connection, for authenticity, for self-expression. Those needs are very, very real, even though our culture often doesn't acknowledge them.
You know, in the beginning of your book, again, the book is The Magic of Circle Work. You talk about physicians and healing touch. Well, I put the healing touch part. I always think about healing touch. And physicians, really, the concept of physicians always was, and it should be, is that the first thing they would always do is they would put their hand on your shoulder and either shake your hand or look into your eyes. So right there was the healing touch of sacredness, of safety, of connection. Mm-hmm. And I think we see this in healthcare right now, that there's so much yelling and screaming about the electronic records, and my physician, he doesn't look at me, and he's on the computer all the time, blah, blah, blah. What they're really trying to say is I'm asking my physician to go back to human touch. And if you think back to the beginning of this conversation, was if you feel like your battery is off somehow, you are always looking to plug it in, you know? So if you're going to a physician and you want to be plugged in, you want to figure out how to regenerate, revitalize, or get your things going back together in your body, in your mind, or whatever that might be, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the touch. So humans innately know that touch, that being connected in a sacred space, is really where it's all about. It's just they're losing it almost everywhere we look around, you know? So I think that's really the difference.
Yeah, I sometimes speak about a circle of two. You know, if you go to a really good physician, you feel like you are in a circle of two. And that is really what a healer aims to create for you.
Right. Yeah, because you can always say, I think people will say, I don't really even know what my doctor said, but I feel so much better. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, so you kind of got it, you know.
Yeah. But also we need to sort of reclaim that we all have healing powers.
Yes.
And that we don't need to just depend on the experts. So some of the healings I've witnessed in my circles are amazing. And it's just this co-creation of a field of love, and someone is held within that field of love.
Right.
Their own innate healing powers, capacities begin to manifest. So we're all healers.
Absolutely. You know, and in closing, you know, I'll tell this little story. This woman, she constantly did not feel well at all and couldn't figure out why, and these physical things would come up, and she wouldn't really talk about her husband very much, and then she would say, oh, he goes about, he has his own kind of life, and I have my own life, and we don't interact at all. And really, you could still be in space with other people, and you could still be as disconnected as ever. So I think also, too, to realize that when they say, oh, but you have kids at home, and your husband's at home, and you know what I mean? Or, oh, look at the big job you have and all the people you see. You could still be disconnected, and you just have... You know what I mean? So to be able to turn around and judge people for who or what they have around them is also a misnomer. You know, we want to say that your connection comes from inside within. It's not about the stuff that spirals outside, right?
Right. And we live in a day and age where we can't expect all our true connections just to come from our families. You know, so the circle is a way of creating a new kind of family, which is really more based on soul truth. So these people, you know, they're not your biological family. They might not even be part of your community. And yet the sense of connectedness is so profound and so healing.
Right, because you don't have that dogma that plays out every single day in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's sort of like you come to a circle for respite. You don't come to it. You know what I mean? You don't want to say, oh, well, I have to keep bringing the circle up in my space 20 times today because I've got 20 chaos spirals going out of control, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's just such a you know, it's just learning how to bring the ease and the peace and the grace in our lives, and I guess that's just what we're doing the best we can, and we continue to share that going forward, yeah?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being with me today, Jalaja. Could you please share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
The easiest way to start is to go to magicofcirclework.com. And from there, you can link to my website, which is Jalaja Bonheim. You can also link to the website of the Institute for Circle Work, which is the nonprofit organization that supports circle work around the world. So, but the place to start is really magicofcirclework.com.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you share with us today, because I think so many times people say, I'm just looking for something simple. Can you just give me something simple today? I'm worn out. I don't know what else to do, but I like to start with something easy. And I think this is really a concept they can kind of engage in and start saying, you know, I think this is something that might work into my life, and it's not going to totally disrupt me, but it might bring me back to the sense of myself. Yes?
Absolutely. We need it.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Jalaja Bonheim, again, the book is The Magic of Circle Work, please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website and find out more information. And it's really about being able to say it's going to be okay. We promise it will be okay. And the okay is just reach out a hand, connect with your eyes, know that there's a sense that there's other people out there too, and it's just being able to say that, you know, there is another, you know, go outside, look at the sun. I say this all the time. Go outside, just, you know, run your hand across a bush, turn around and pet, you know, your little friendly furry pet, or just connect with someone and say, you know what, can we just sit here and just sit with two people, and you'll be able to say, close your eyes and just be okay. All will be well. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.